Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Jaguars are future focused. Future focus. This is Jaguars Post Game, presented by Florida Home AC. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Pride of the Jaguars, Fred Taylor, bring you highlights and analysis from today's game. Jaguars Post Game, presented by Florida Home AC, is brought to you by Farrah and Farrah, Baptist Health, and by TIAA Bank. Now, to get things started, here's JP Shadrick.
Welcome in. It's Jaguars Post Game presented by Florida Home AC. Call Florida Home AC today. Official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Final score in Week 5. The Texans over the Jaguars for the ninth consecutive meeting. Texans 13, Jaguars 6. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor with us in studio. Plenty to get to. We'll hear from Doug Peterson coming up. Bucky Brooks is standing by near the Jaguars locker room. Well, a field goal fest early. 6-6 game at halftime. Lawrence throws an interception in the red zone to begin the second half on the opening drive. The Jaguars couldn't get much of anything else done. And then on defense, in a key moment, there was a third and 20 play, an offside by Trayvon Walker, and then he threw the quarterback to the ground on the dead play to get a personal foul to move the sticks. 12 plays on that drive, and Pierce goes in for a one-yard touchdown to give Houston the lead and ultimately the win today. Oh, Fred, this one's tough to take. The Jags are now 2-3. It's the first win of the year for Houston.
JP, Mike, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Everything you said, JP, I mean, you pretty much summed it up right there. Low-scoring affair early on. Man, it's hard to really find something good to say. Second half, going back, the defense pretty much, they played well in the first half. Third down defense was pretty good. Run defense was okay. But just to get here in the fourth quarter, they wait till the fourth quarter to implode. As you mentioned, Trevor, I think that might have been the worst play of his entire young career. You got to take the one. You got to have awareness, knowing where you are. Take the one. Worst case, you reset first down from the 6-yard line of Houston. And then that play that Walker made right there, just a bonehead play by both of our number ones over the last 2 years. Those are unacceptable.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much of the boneheaded stuff this year.
No,
either, right? The undisciplined stuff. I mean, that is an unconscionable play. Okay, so you're offsides. It's 3rd and 15. Get them off the field. You just give them the first down there. And, I mean, the tackling or lack thereof on Damian Pierce in the second half, Fred, I thought was incredibly disappointing as well.
What, did he break 6 tackles in that one play inside the 20?
You know, yeah, he did. But, you know, looking at him, I'm like, this guy, I didn't see a lot of that at Florida.
Didn't
you know, he got in the NFL. Now he looked like almost like he's a Heisman-type back. And, you know, I was like, all right, guys get lucky. Guys have a few nice runs here and there. I wasn't sure if he was the real deal, but he proved to me today that he has what it takes to play on his level. And our defense allowed him to pretty much carve them up.
Just put a shock collar on me and – you know, just use it anytime I pick this team to beat the Texans until they prove it. I mean, seriously, how stupid are we to keep picking this team, not only to pick them to beat the Texans, they're going to beat them by 2 touchdowns. That's me talking, right? Like, I mean, the Texans team, they're looking at it like, Fred, oh, it's alumni weekend. They're going to have it's homecoming. We're their homecoming opponent.
Yeah.
And we've beaten them 8 times in a row, and – they came in here and stole their lunch again.
Mike, 0-3-1, to me, looking at it, looks worse than 0-4. That's how bad I thought the Texans were, just looking at their record. But they, you know, somehow they find a way. I just told you in the hallway, Davis Mills. Who'd have thought? He's 3-0 versus Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, sometimes teams have your number. Go back to 99. I hate to think about it. I still think we were better than that Titans team, but they were a better team.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, final score today, 13-6, Texans over the Jaguars. Final numbers for Trevor Lawrence today, 25 of 47, 286 through the air. No touchdowns, two interceptions. Lawrence ran four times for 29 yards in this game. Yeah, not enough. That red zone interception is going to come back to haunt him, I think. And as you said, Fred, he just didn't see Stingley, I don't think. I mean, Stingley was kind of off the right.
I get it. I certainly get that. But here I am, knowing the situations. You know, I have high-level IQ-type player. We all crown him that, right? So, I mean, it's second and one.
Yes.
There's no need at all, no matter how you carve it up, to even throw the ball.
Don't risk
it.
You
were right at the mark to make first down, to extend the drive. Now you have three more plays, maybe four plays, because we know Coach Peterson isn't shy about going for it on fourth down. So you're giving yourself an opportunity to get a fresh new set of downs with maybe 6 yards. I think if he would have passed the seven, he should have been at least to the six or the five. But you just have to allow your situational awareness to kick in right there. Take the one, reset it, and then give yourself another opportunity as opposed to forcing it as he did.
He did. And you wonder if, Fred, as the game goes on, coming off the game last week, okay, you know what? We're going to get in better conditions. We're going to show them this offense is going to click. And then you're kind of stymied, and the passing game isn't there. And your connection with Christian Kirk isn't like it was in the first 3 weeks of the season. And you wonder if you know, Trevor Lawrence almost, I don't think it's this simple, but gets in his head the idea that, all right, this one we're sticking in the end zone. We're going to show them. Like, you can't throw it hard enough to score three touchdowns on one play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems like he was trying to make up for the lack of offense there. But whatever the reason, man, you can't have it. And you just can't go scoreless in the second half against this team. This is the team that Indy came back and put up 17 in the fourth quarter on in week one. And we know how, you know, bad their offense has been throughout most of the season. This is just one of the most disappointing losses in years to me, as I told you, Fred, before we came on, because there's finally expectations now for this team. We thought they had the group of players that were going to meet them against this level of competition.
Right.
But, you know, what I don't want to hear, and Fred is allowed to say anything he likes 23 years after the fact. He could say anything about the 99 team versus the Titans. I don't want to hear anything about we're the better team, we beat ourselves. Sorry, that's not the way it works in the NFL. We don't vote on this. You're 2-3. The Texans just came into your house and beat you. Today, you were not the better team than the Houston Texans. And I, you know, willing to give them the benefit of the doubt last week in bad conditions. But if you're going to talk like that, you got to come back and back it up. And they didn't do it.
Final score today, 13-6. Texans improved to 1-3-1 on the season. The Jaguars are now 2-3, and we'll come back. Coming up, the locker room report. Bucky Brooks standing by. We'll hear from head coach Doug Peterson coming up as well. A little later, the highlights from the game. Unfortunately, a Jaguars loss today in week number 5. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. It's Jaguars postgame presented by Florida Home AC. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars fall in week 5, 13-6. The final. Texans get their first win of the season and the ninth straight win over the Jaguars, who fall to a record of 2-3 on the year. The Jags struggling on offense today, obviously, with only 6 points and both those field goals coming in the first half. Trevor Lawrence throws a red zone interception into the end zone, intercepted by Stingley, and then the Texans cash in a touchdown after a personal foul penalty on Trayvon Walker on a 3rd-and-20 play. Kept the drive alive, 12 plays, 74 yards, and nearly 7 minutes, and Pierce in from a yard away to give the Texans the lead and ultimately the win today. All right, so let's get into the defense a little bit here, Fred. As you mentioned, the first half, yeah, they're getting off the field. Houston 3-and-out, 21-yard drive, a punt, 22-yard drive, punt. They give up a 50-yard field goal and a 51-yard field goal, and that's a really good first half of work. Then in the second half, backed up from their own 2-yard line, the Texans get off the away from their own goal line. They go 12 plays and have to punt it away. a three and out, and then that long drive really was the backbreaker there when really they had played a pretty good game on defense most of the day except for that long drive for the Pierce touchdown.
Yeah, JP, just looking at it all, man, the defense played fairly decent in the first half. As you mentioned, the Texans were 0 for 5 on third down in the first half. Somehow they eventually make it 5 for 8, you know, there in the second half. And the weirdest thing to me as I look at, you know, these stats here, and I know you guys are going to go over them, the Jaguars totally dominated in the stat column.
Oh, yeah.
Rushing, passing, total yardage, the entire thing. Percentage on third down. But, again, red zone has come back to haunt them, as well as fourth down conversions or lack thereof. Then I want to toss it over to the penalties.
Yes.
Just those key penalties in those situations is really the biggest thing that's haunted them. That interception in the red zone right there at the goal line, as well as the big penalties, the Trayvon Walker penalty. I like to also include the Juwan Taylor penalty right there. Even though they got three, it's just still a bonehead penalty that eventually leads to frustrations and all other sorts of things. I don't know. Offense has to help the defense out, you know, when they play a game and keep those guys under the mark from a yardage standpoint. The offense has to find a way to put points on the board.
And it's easy to tally the mistakes when you're counting turnovers and penalties, but you got to count all those missed throws early on.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is just off target again early in the football game. He can't seem to get in rhythm quickly. And I don't know, for 3-4 opportunities to convert first downs and keep drives going and keep that defense off the field even longer. I mean, the Jags outgained the Texans 422 to 248 today. They only put up 6 points in those conditions. I mean, it wasn't just the turnovers that show up in the stat column. It's those missed passes on third down that killed them, too.
Right. I agree with you there. And, you know, a few guys didn't help him early on. Zay Jones had a 39 drop on the first drive of the game. You mentioned the overthrow to Jones, had a few other overthrows in there. He was definitely off sync. You know, even ETN dropping balls in the flat right there. So just a combination of bad play across the board. I'd like to be able to have something for you, but I'm not 100% sure what the answer is other than the obvious, which is lack of execution. I don't know if it's, you know, just off key with the passing game or the run game, that they just have to get better in that tight area and find a way to, you know, help the defense.
Head coach Doug Peterson has wrapped up with the media down the hall. He's heading down to catch up with Bucky Brooks just outside the Jaguars locker room after a Jaguars loss in week 5. Final score 13-6. The Houston Texans get their first win of the season. 1-3-1 record for Houston. The Jaguars fall to a record of 2-3. Let's go outside the Jaguars locker room. Bucky Brooks with head coach Doug Peterson.
Coach, what are your thoughts on the tough loss today?
Man, it's tough, and, you know, I keep telling our guys that it's going to always be about us, you know, and about what we do, and just there's too many self-inflicted sort of wounds that when you look back, you know, it just comes down to what we do, and we just got to continue to work and push, and they're all teachable, and they're all fixable and correctable and all of that, but at the same time, you know, we know that these games are going to come down to 3 to 5 plays. You never know which ones they are or who's going to be involved. And we've got to be smarter in those areas.
You know, going back to a conversation we had in the offseason, you said the process of learning how to win is really hard. And so that you have to go through some tough stuff to get them right. Now, it sucks now, but what lessons can you kind of teach the team to help them down the line when we get in the stretch run?
And you're exactly right. You know, winning in this league, it takes everybody, number one, and it takes a great week of preparation. Everybody has to kind of look at their routine, and I think that's coaches included, that's myself, all the coaches, the players. Just look at your routine, and how are you putting yourself in a position? I talk about sacrifice a lot. In this sport, you know, we sacrifice not just on the football field, but off the field as well, sometimes with our families and things of that nature, and just being able to you just got to understand that and know that, you know, these games come down, like I said, to a couple of plays. And just keeping, you know, staying positive, showing them, you know, the errors that are being made, the mistakes that are being made, showing confidence in this football team. I never want to doubt these guys whatsoever. They play hard. They play physical. They play fast. I mean, those are things you see on tape and on the field and in games. And, you know, but it's just now we have to be a smarter football team. And that just comes with the teaching, right, and still the coaching and showing them on tape and just having those same conversations over and over again, you know, as we go.
To that point, like even with the quarterback, like how do you help him? You haven't watched the tape, but how do you evaluate Trevor? How do you help him through like this moment in terms of learning how to be a winning quarterback in this league?
I think the number one thing is you still got to show confidence in him, right? You still got to show that he's the guy, and really you have to show him some of the good that he's done already this year, and then keep, you just got to keep working. It's the only thing that kind of gets you through some tough moments is just continue to, you know, continue to push and to practice and put him in those situations and during the week. And, you know, and we got to understand as a staff too just how young he is and that, you know, this game happens fast and windows are open and closed extremely fast and just running the show, you know, and just understanding the big picture of everything. But those are all things that you learn, you know, with more time out there on the field. But I think the biggest thing is we have to still continue to show confidence, not only in him, but the entire football team, and get it fixed.
Well, sure, we'll get a chance to get it fixed next week against Indianapolis. We see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Bucky.
Cool. All right. That's head coach Doug Peterson with Bucky Brooks just outside the Jaguars locker room. Final score 13-6. Jaguars postgame presented by Florida Home AC. Call Florida Home AC today. Official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll return with highlights of this one. Texans win in week 5, 13-6 over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars postgame presented by Florida Home AC. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jaguars, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Texans 13, Jaguars 6. Let's get to the highlights and the scoring summary from today's game. Well, neither offense could get anything going early in this game. They traded 3 and outs on the opening drives. They punted again on the second possession. Jaguars defense gets Houston off the field after 4 plays on their 3rd drive. And then the Jaguars drive down the field, 11 plays, 60 yards. They stall out in the red zone, though, and settle for a 26-yard field goal from Riley Patterson to open a 3-0 Jags lead. Well, the ensuing possession for the Texans. The Jaguars defense giving up a handful of plays down the field. Fairbairn, though, hits one from 50 yards away to tie the game 3-3. Jaguars offense moves the ball a bit, 55 yards on the drive. They go for it on 4th down near midfield and fail. They turn it over on downs. The Texans can't do much with it either. They only go 30 yards on 8 plays in just under 5 minutes. Fairbairn hits a 51-yarder to give the Texans a 6-3 lead. But the Jaguars get a couple of chunk plays on their next possession. Ingram for 25, Dan Arnold for 22. There was a holding call on the right tackle, Jawan Taylor, on that drive. It stalled him out. And a 45-yard field goal from Riley Patterson for the Jaguars good. And it tied the game 6-6. That was the halftime score. On to the second half. Jaguars open the half with the football. They're driving. They're in the red zone. Trevor Lawrence is rolling right. And it goes wrong.
Play fake. Rolling right is Trevor. Looking, still looking. Fires back in the end zone. That's picked off. He threw it in the back of the end zone. He threw it into coverage. And it is picked off by the rookie Derek Stingley on 2nd and 1 yard from the 7-yard line.
Stingley caught it in the back of the end zone and actually brought it out to the 2 where he was tackled. But the Jaguars can't pin them back on the next drive. They drive the ball out near midfield. 12 plays, have to punt it away. The Jaguars get the ball back. They get a 20-yard play to Marvin Jones. Well, they have to go for it on 4th down again near midfield. Just past midfield, in fact. And they don't get it for a 2nd time. 3 and out for the Texans. Jaguars go 3 and out. It's still a 6-6 game. And then the big moment of the game came on a 3rd and 20 play. There was an offside by Trayvon Walker. There were whistles. He continued to the quarterback, grabbed him, ripped him to the ground, and got a personal foul to negate the offsides and give the Texans a first down to keep the drive alive. There was a play later in the drive where Damian Pierce, the Texans running back, broke about six tackles inside the red zone to get down near the goal line. And then he capped it off with this one-yard touchdown run to give the Texans the lead.
They hand it to Damian Pierce. He is into the end zone for the touchdown. A half-yard touchdown run, officially a one-yard touchdown run. And the Texans have scored the first touchdown of the game and have taken the lead with 3:11 to play here at TIAA Bank Field.
12 plays, 74 yards, 6 minutes, 48 seconds. A backbreaker for the Jaguars, who turned it over on downs on their next drive again. The Texans go three and out. Jaguars get the ball back with about a minute to go. They get up near midfield and a chance at least for a Hail Mary, the final play of the game.
Last play of the game, shotgun for Trevor. It'll be a Hail Mary. I would imagine he drops, steps up, still scrambles around. Scramble around the back, so he's just got to let one fly, Trevor. Fires. He's hit as he let it go, so it's well short of the end zone, and it is picked off by the Texans. They are running it back. King is running it back. He's just going to step out of bounds, and that'll end the ball game.
That was it. Final score, Houston 13, Jacksonville 6. The Texans are 1-3-1. The Jaguars fall to 2-3. We'll return with a look at the Vistar final stats. Final score, 13-6. Texans get the win in Week 5. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Jaguars postgame. Final score 13-6. Texans over the Jags in Week 5. Time now for the Kingfish Pest Control defensive play of the game. And we'll give it to Foye Aluakun, the Jaguars linebacker, who had a sack today. It was originally scored as a split sack between he and Devin Lloyd, and at the end of the day, it comes into a sack for Aluakun by himself. So the free agent who comes in the offseason for the Jaguars has the defensive play of the game. It came on the second drive of the second half for the Texans offense, and that's the Kingfish Pest Control defensive play of the game. Let the pros tackle the pest in your home by going to kingfishpest.com. That's kingfishpest.com. Let's take a look now at the Vistar final stats. Jaguars Game Day Radio brought to you by Vistar Credit Union. Do good, bank better, and we'll start off with the team statistics as we normally do here on Jaguars postgame. And Fred, as you mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of these numbers actually go the Jaguars' way today, but the big one that matters, the score, obviously did not today. Let's start with the team statistics in this game for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they outgained overall the Houston Texans today in total yardage, 422 to 248. They outrushed them 136 to 116. The Jaguars won in that department. Net passing yardage, 286 to 132 in favor of the Jaguars. Penalties, 4 for 25 yards against Houston, 6 for 48 for the Jags. Not a massive number, but in key moments. These penalties were massive today for the Jaguars. A holding call, as you mentioned, referenced earlier, Fred, and, of course, the personal foul penalty on Trayvon Walker on that touchdown drive for the Texans. The Jaguars 0 for 3 in the red zone today, and that one will come back to kill you with the interception, of course, in the end zone. They only mustered 2 field goals, Mike, and can't get anything else done today, and they fall by a touchdown.
Yeah, no matter what I pull out of these individual stats, we're still not going to score more points today,
no,
unfortunately.
You're right.
Trevor Lawrence threw for 286 on 25 of 47 passing, the 2 interceptions, quarterback rating of 54 on the day. Once again, falling to Davis Mills for the third time in their young careers. Mills 16 out of 24 for 140 yards. And a quarterback rating of 81.9, no touchdowns, but also did not turn the football over. Travis Etienne led the way on the ground for the Jags, 7.1 yards per carry, 10 carries for 71 yards. Damian Pierce, 26 for 99. So He had to work for it, but he got it in the end and scored the touchdown that mattered to give you the final margin here. Marvin Jones, 7 grabs a week after getting shut out on 11 targets, went for 104 yards, and Evan Engram had 6 for 69. Nico Collins caught 4 for 65. No one else had more than 22 yards receiving for the Texans today. Rayshon Jenkins led the way with 12 total tackles, including 7 solos on the day. Foye Oluokun had the lone sack for the Jaguars on defense.
Damian Pierce, the big day today for the Houston Texans on the ground, Fred, came out of Florida, and you know, he had, I think, 23 touchdowns in Gainesville. Didn't have a bunch of yardage, though. So around the goal line, he got the ball. It felt like a lot down there. Today, I mean, he's breaking tackles and breaking free and then finishing in tight spaces, and looked a little bit different here.
Yeah, he touched it 26 times, man. He's a big load. I think he's somewhere 5'10 and a half, almost 5'11, like 220 pounds. So he's a stocky, wide guy, but he's shifty. He has some good jets to him, some really good vision. So I'm hitting some cutback lanes there earlier in the game. And then he, you know, caught the ball. You know, he shows some soft hands, too. On the flip side, man, and I wish I could be talking about our guys like this today, but he's certainly a guy that you knew coming in, he was getting the rock. You just knew that, and the defense knew it, and they just didn't necessarily stop it.
On the other side, let's talk about the Jaguars' running situation today. Travis Etienne, 10 for 71. Robinson, 10 for 27. Trevor ran it 4 times today, but let's focus on Etienne. 71 rushing yards. He had 43 on 3 catches to go with that. That's kind of what we thought he might be, is that option out of the backfield in the passing game. And then he showed some bursts and some things today. What did you like about his game today?
You know, I like just, you know, talking to him yesterday when the legends met with a lot of the younger guys after post-practice yesterday, post-walkthrough. You know, he came over and said, "I feel it. You know, I feel this is going to be my biggest game of the year. It's something about me. I just feel it." You know, after those 2 runs early on, the 18 and the 30-yarder, he had, you know, 48 yards on those 2 carries. I said, all right. You know, he sort of wished it, you know, that it was going to come to existence. And, you know, I would have liked to see him get more. He averaged that 7.1 a carry on 10 touches. And as you mentioned there in the passing game, 3 for 43, but he dropped a ball on the sideline that I thought would have been an important catch had he secured it. But, you know, he has that ability. You know, he has really good vision, some quickness there. In the preseason, I thought he broke more tackles than he's been showing in the regular season. Now it's like one hit and he's down. But he certainly have some quicks, some explosiveness. So those guys together as a duo, they do pretty good to get the job done.
You know, last week they each had 8 carries, right? Today they each had 10, talking about Etienne and Robinson, Fred. So it appears they want to be balanced. They bring different things to the table. It's not like James Robinson hasn't been explosive at times this year. He's got the 37 and 50-yard touchdown runs. But when you get a guy going like Etienne was going in the first half, do you kind of have to throw the balance out the window, in your opinion, and just ride the hot guy?
Yeah, and you, as a back, you hate that. You know, you want the guys to win, and, you know, as a starter, you want those touches. You feel like those touches I can also get going too. If those touches was mine, I could do the same thing, and that should be your mentality. But when you're not that guy with the hot hand and you're sitting on the sideline, the frustration is at an all-time high. I mean, you're getting cold. You're like, you got to find ways to stay warm and stay in the game. And it's tough. It could be tough. I don't know. I just hate that you have 2 really good backs and you want to try to be balanced and use both of them. The coaching staff, you have to pick the right points in time throughout the game to get those guys in. You know, but clearly, when Maurice and I shared the load, Maurice did a lot of stuff better than me. And I deferred to it. Plus, I was a little bit older, so I was like, "Oh no, Mo, you go. This is you. Oh no, that's all yours." But you know, these are 2 young guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's totally different. You know, the dynamic, and you know, I know they both want the ball, but man, I don't know. It's good to have 2 good backs, though.
Well, they did open the second half with Travis Etienne as the starting running back on the field. So, you know, from that standpoint, maybe they were trying to get him an extra series or something like that.
Maybe so. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall in the meeting room, you know, when they're going in there, especially, you know, to see who's making the correct reads. I can sit back on the sideline and try and be Monday morning quarterback, but I like to actually see the game plan, see the blocking scheme. That way I can have a better opinion on, you know, who's making the right cuts, who's missing cuts, just who has the highest score at the end of the game, because they score you on your mistakes, your effort, your yardage that you gain. I'd like to be able to see those scores and see who outplays the other guy.
When we return, Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game voting final score, Texans 13, Jaguars 6. And this is Jaguars Postgame on Jaguars Radio.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.